Welcome back to Head Games Radio, and now we're joined by a guy that travels across the country everywhere. Solomon Wilcutz, where are you today?
I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. No place like home.
There you go. And what are you wearing? We always like to make sure we get the realism here. What are you wearing? You're in your sweats today? You got a chance to relax a little bit in your home studio?
Yeah, well, I get to wear a pair of jeans, get to relax, and, you know, a nice little pullover sweatshirt. So it is relaxing, and the weather here isn't conducive to wearing anything less.
Well, let's start with Cincinnati and that incredible shootout. As I said with Ron Jaworski yesterday, it was almost like the ghost of Lance Allworth and Bambi, that you could almost see the old AFL days playing out in front of you with Cincinnati and San Diego.
Oh, absolutely. It was a great game. You know, Cincinnati Bengals really needed to win that game. They had lost three straight coming in, and then just kind of needing to get back on track. And Carson Palmer and that offense finally played really its best game of the season. They really had it going. He had over 400 yards passing, phenomenal day. And Chad Johnson, 11 catches, 260 yards, a franchise record for Chad Johnson, but still wasn't enough because they had twice 21-point lead on the San Diego Chargers. Give credit to Philip Rivers, very young quarterback, going on the road, battling back, bringing his team from behind to win that game. And he was smart enough to know, get the ball to LaDainian Tomlinson, allow him to score four touchdowns, and that goes a long way into helping you come back to win that game.
Makes him look pretty intelligent. Well, speaking of Philip Rivers, one of the things I want to focus on today is the development of quarterbacks and then go into character with Marv Levy and what he had to say about the selection of players. And I definitely want to touch on Randy Moss and some of his comments with regard to character. And we talk about this all the time, but let's first start with Ron Jaworski talking about the development of quarterbacks, whether any teams left in this league have the patience to wait 2 years to develop someone like a Philip Rivers.
Yeah, there really are two schools of thought, Nick. You know, there are some that are successful inserting the quarterback immediately, much like Peyton Manning did when he went to the Indianapolis Colts. He started every game there since his rookie year. Then you see the success of maybe a Steve McNair when he first came in the league. You know, he didn't start immediately. Jeff Fisher brought him along. You see the success now of Philip Rivers, where he sits for a couple of years and learns a game from a wily old veteran like Drew Brees. Not only learns the game, he learns the system. He learns how to be a professional. He learns how to prepare. He learns how to study. All those things come into play. Maybe I'm a little bit old school in this, but I think a quarterback needs that little bit of time to breathe after that collegiate career to the NFL career. It's a quantum leap from collegiate football to the National Football League. So I think a quarterback needs that time to kind of chill out and understand what it's going to take to be successful at the NFL level.
Along with Peyton Manning and what he has done, I think maybe the two other best stories at quarterback are Philip Rivers and his predecessor, Drew Brees. What do you think?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think what you're saying, Drew Brees is a guy that came in as a second-round pick and struggled a little bit out the blocks, but it took him about 32 games into his pro career before things really settled in and he started to play at a Pro Bowl level, played with a great deal of consistency. But remember, the team around him wasn't as good as it is right now in San Diego, and so you could see why a quarterback would struggle early. I think Philip Rivers is taking advantage of all the talent he has around him, but I think they're also taking advantage of his maturity, the fact that he's the son of a coach, the fact that he played four full years at North Carolina State. And so here's a guy that has been able to watch, look, and learn over the first couple of years, and now he's ready to come out swinging. So I think if you're San Diego, you know, they were criticized for the way that they were able to jettison Drew Brees out of that organization and go ahead and say, hey, we're going to start this guy, Philip Rivers. But you might want to say they handled that whole situation about as well as one could, because there's been a seamless transition from a guy like Drew Brees, who had one NFL Comeback Player of the Year, to a guy like Philip Rivers, who has not skipped a beat. In fact, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level himself.
I think Marty Schottenheimer, being able to scout Philip Rivers at that Senior Bowl week, he saw his work ethic, he saw his character, he saw a man that had that capacity. But how many teams have that patience? And conversely, with a Ben Roethlisberger, having had 2 years right out of the box, it's as if Bill Cowher has not had the patience to say, you know what, here's a time when I need to give you a few extra weeks to get truly healthy, recover from those things in concussions that are so much out of our control, I've got enough confidence in my team that we can win a few games without you.
Well, I think it's very difficult that once the genie comes out of the bottle, you can't get him back in. In other words, once you turn to that number one draft pick, it's kind of like what the Washington Redskins are doing. A couple of years ago, they drafted number one, Jason Campbell, but they brought in an experienced veteran like Mark Brunell. Once you decide to go away from the veteran and go to the young player, you've got to go ahead and allow him to drive the car. You've got to allow him to go through the growing pains. To go back now to that veteran and say, okay, we made a mistake, we put you in too early, you disrupt, I think, the ability for that young player to grow. You tend to damage his confidence in showing him that, you know, you don't really believe in him as much as you thought you had. Once you go to that young player who you drafted in the first round, once you turn it to him, you can't take it back. You've got to be willing to ride this out. So that's why I think you got to really be really, really careful before you say, okay, first round, let's go ahead and put him in there. I think that with all costs, you try to wait as long as you can, because once you go to that player, you have to truly be committed to sticking with him even through the difficult times.
Before we get away, Solomon Wilcots, from that Cincinnati-San Diego game, also a very good game from Carson Palmer, but he's not had the protection. He's not had any kind of support on the defensive side. What on earth has happened to Cincinnati? I believe when you have four or five off-season and in-season off-the-field incidents, it distracts. No matter what you say about it, it distracts from the team's sense of focus.
I think more importantly, I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think they've had some injuries on their offensive line that has affected the offense. You lose Rich Bram, you lose your left tackle, Levi Jones. Already Carson Palmer's been hit and sacked more in the first half of the season than he was all of last year. I think that's taken its toll. That's been enough to throw off maybe the rhythm of the offense. I think defensively, they're just not playing as well, particularly in the secondary, as well as they did a year ago, where they were making a lot of interceptions. Now they're giving up huge cushions to receivers, and they're just not making plays. I think what people forget is that this is a very young ball club under their head coach, Marvin Lewis. And I think, yeah, you can't discount some of the distractions you mentioned, Nick. I think they're a young team that's got a big bullseye on their back, the fact that they won the division title last year. Now there's all these expectations on them. Once you lose a couple of games, you tend to start pressing. And so the expectations probably were a little bit out of reach. And then I think as they're now starting to deal with some adversity, it's clear that they're not handling it as well. This is kind of what you saw the Seattle Seahawks go through under Mike Holmgren when he first brought in Sean Alexander, brought in Corin Robinson, had Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones, had made the trade for Matt Hasselbeck. They went through a couple of years of real disappointment, and they went through a couple of years of some real difficult times before you saw them make it to a Super Bowl. I think the collection of talent is there. I think the lack of maturity is not there, and you need both to win consistently in the National Football League.
And maturity, I think, Solomon, is also an issue, even for a team that won the World Championship, remembering what is their character. They don't have Jerome Bettis, but they still have always made their mark by establishing the run first. It seemed as if they got back to that against New Orleans. Here's Ron Jaworski.
Down the road. But I think we saw that identity coming back last week against the Saints. You know, they did run the football very well. Willie Parker did run the football inside as well as outside. He spread the defense sideline to sideline in the running game. When you do that, it opened up the Roethlisberger passing game. You saw the voids in the intermediate passing game because the linebackers were cheating up against the run. So clearly they got back to their identity of what they are, to run the football first and then set up the play action pass game. And that, you know, that blueprint has been successful for them in the past.
So there is Pittsburgh figuring out, but probably a little bit too late. Let's move on to a team. It seems like this season, Solomon, has been a tale of teams that are flavors of the month. Miami has seemed to find itself the last 2 weeks. The Raiders had a couple games there. And then Randy Moss starts talking about how sad he is and how distracted, how depressing it is, and that's affecting his game. Here's a guy who's the team captain. He's making $8 million a year, more than anyone else. He's dropping balls at a rate he never has in his life. What is going on?
Well, I think it's really a lack of focus and a lack of discipline just as an individual. He still has talent. I don't know that he brings his A game each and every week. And I think even you know, if you go back and look at when he was playing at his best, it was clear there were signs that this is a guy that didn't play hard all the time on every single play. And his talent was so overwhelming, his production was still high. So I think we kind of excused it. We kind of forgave him. But now it's caught up with him. The production is low, and you can directly attach that to the fact that this is a guy, despite how much money you're paying him, he doesn't play hard on every single play.
You're listening to Solomon Wilcox from CBS, the NFL Network. This is Head Games on Sports Byline Network, Sirius Channel 122. When we come back, Seth Joyner will join us. We're going to talk about maybe whether quarterbacks are getting too much to think about. We talked about on yesterday's show who has the right blend of talent, the scheme, and also the character on the team to get it done when it starts getting cold and we start approaching the playoffs. We'll be right back in just a moment.